is in tune with what we've been speaking about, what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us the last several weeks about giving the Holy Spirit place. I've been trying my best to step back and to allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do. I've kind of got this informally labeled as the summer of the Spirit, not to imply that once September rolls around that we're back into the flesh. That's not it at all. But we're just wanting to give Him place so that He can do what He wants to do. I was sharing with the worship team this morning, and those of maybe that were here listening, we live in a generation that is in desperate need of a visitation of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of folks, we read this on the news, they're in what you would call, this generation is what you would call a valley. And it's ironic about a valley, because in a valley is usually where there's refreshing, and there's life, and there's fruit, and there's things that are happening in a valley. If you've ever seen the topography of things, it's in the mountaintops that we want to be in, but yet there's less vegetation up there. The air is thinner, but there's some refreshing that's going on. We always talk about it in the spiritual, what we'll call Christianese vernacular. I'm on the mountaintop, which means that we're doing great spiritually, or I'm in the valley, which means that I'm really, you know, just in a place of trial. We hear that often. But it's ironic that it's the other way around as far as in the natural, it's in the valley where there's real fruit, there's real growth, there's real potential for life, while up in the mountaintops, there's very little vegetation. Things can't live up there. So God allows us to enjoy the mountaintops at times. How many enjoys those mountaintops in the Lord? I know I do. And how many enjoys the valleys? Not so many of us. But it's in those valleys where the Lord brings the growth. It's in those valleys that the Lord brings strength and fruit and vitality, just as in the natural, He does that in the spiritual. Even though we don't like going through it, it's something that we need to experience. And so we look at our generation, and I'm looking out at the generation that is here today. Young people, I'm talking to you, but not just physically, you know, teenagers or early mid-20s. I'm not just talking about the chronological age of those that are here today. I'm talking about the generation that hasn't experienced a vital, life-changing, mind-blowing, spirit-reviving move of God. We read in Acts chapter 2 where the church was birthed and launched as a result of the Spirit of the Holy Spirit coming and falling upon those in the upper room. We know that in 1912, that on Azusa Street in Los Angeles, that a revival took place that actually birthed many of the movements that you know as Pentecostal movements today. The Assemblies of God, by the way, that's who we are. We're affiliated with and associated with the Assemblies of God. We have a fellowship with them. We are an Assembly of God church. Church of God, Pentecostal churches of all kinds experienced that birth from that Azusa Street revival. And there was a mighty revival that took place back then. Many of us were alive at the charismatic renewal of the 1970s. How many knows what I'm talking about and experienced that? Hands all over the place. Even more of us know about the Brownsville revival that took place in Pensacola. That wasn't just in Pensacola, but it impacted really the world. How many knows what I'm talking about the Brownsville revival? That was in the late 90s. That's 20 years ago. Doesn't seem possible, but that was about 20 years ago. So we have a whole generation of kids and young people that are coming up, and their gods, their influence, what they're experiencing is more social media. It's more that sort of connection. That's where they're gaining and enjoying their life. That's where they live. There's a lot of things that the world has to offer that seems to be, and I think I'm right in this, that it seems to be accelerating in its intensity and its availability and its impact on this culture, on this generation that we're living. Am I the only one that sees that? It's like Satan is pulling out all the stops and he's saying, okay, where at one point you had these few things, now I'm going to give you a cornucopia of things. and just whatever you want, and just if just whatever you want to do, however it feels for you, whatever choice you want to make, don't tell. If you were born a man, you don't have to be a man. You can be a woman. Identify as that, or vice versa. If you want to marry a guy, if you're a guy, if you want to marry a girl, do that too. If you want to hang out, if you want to live with someone, that's fine. You don't have to get married. Have bunches of kids. You know, forget what the Bible has to say about that. If you want to take drugs and experiment, hey, let's make marijuana legal now. Why not? And it's just on and on and it goes. And we see this happening, and it's like the lobster being boiled in a pot, right? Slowly turning that thing up. You don't realize, the lobster doesn't realize he's getting boiled alive. And that's what's happening in our culture. And we see our generation today that as a result of everything that the world has to offer and is offering in spades to our culture, and not just to the young people, but to all of us, we're seeing this despair rise up. We're seeing this hopelessness rise up. We're seeing these violent outbursts of anger. We're seeing this deep longing for identity and purpose. We're seeing these desperate acts of suicide. Kids are killing themselves. Yet in the same valley of despair that this world is offering, that this generation is embracing and choosing to live in the same valley of despair is the potential for hope and for purpose and for great growth and fruitfulness in Christ. All the necessary elements are there in that valley for revival, but for some reason just hasn't been applied. I know that I experienced at 15 and a half a powerful move of the Holy Spirit in my life. It was on a Wednesday night. It was in youth service, and the youth pastor called up whoever would want to come up, and I came up, and before I could even make it halfway up the aisle, I felt the Holy Spirit come over me, and I barely could make it to the altar, and it wasn't an act. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a put-on. It wasn't something that I was doing because everybody else was doing it. I got in this vortex of this zone where it was just me and the Holy Spirit. And he laid me out, and I knew stuff was going on around me, but I didn't know what was going on around me, because I knew what was going on inside of me was just, I was being transformed. And I said, God, I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll say what you want me to say. I'm yours. He filled me with the Holy Spirit that night. I began to speak in tongues. I was transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit that night in 1977. I'll never forget it, and you can never convince me that it's not real, that the Holy Spirit is not real. I've had people tell me, oh, that was for the book of Acts. Oh, that's not for today. Oh, that's just an emotional experience. I disagree with you strongly. It was real to me. He is real to me. The Holy Spirit is here today and wants to do the same thing in you that he did in me and that he did in so many others that are here today. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you and transform your life as he did mine. But we live in a generation, we live in a culture that needs a visitation from the Holy Spirit. This that I'm talking about, just like if I had a bag of fertilizer, it would do no good if I kept it in the bag. I've got to spread it out over the soil. I might have a big old bucket of water, but it may do no good. It won't do any good unless I spray it out over the soil. If I've got some sunlight available to shine on that soil so that things would grow, it would do no good if I put a big old tarp over it and kept it from growing. I've got to let the light in. So we know these things. We know. We're saying amen. We agree. We're saying, oh, yes, Lord, do this. And yet we're not giving him place. As I said last week, we're getting hungry and thirsty, and we're getting ourselves filled up with soda pop and donuts, which diminishes the true hunger of what we really need to hunger for and who we really need to hunger for, the things of the Lord, which will truly only satisfy. You're getting yourself filled up, young people and other folks, with the things that the world has to offer. And you know what you're filling yourself up with? Donuts. Pepsi, Coca-Cola, sugary drinks. Tastes good going down. Hey, I promise you, I enjoy a donut just like the rest of you. But 30 minutes later, I'm hungry again. And I don't feel so good because what's doing in my system is not really good. All that sugar and starch and all that junk, it's not doing me good. And it's certainly not doing me good around my waist. It lingers. But the things of the Lord, boy, it's like steak and baked potato. It's like the rich, it's like the vegetables. It's like the things that I need. It's like the protein. It's the stuff that we usually when we're going down, usually when we're at Golden Corral, the first thing we look at is the dessert things. Oh, that looks good right there. And we maybe some of it, I see very few people go to the salad bar if I ever go over there. They put it way on the other end, too, by the way. They just know. Nobody wants a salad bar. So we go for the starchy stuff, the macaroni and cheese and all that yummy stuff that's, the comfort food. But we always make sure and save room for what? Dessert, right? But a lot of times, in the spirit, we do just the opposite. We'll go for the dessert first. We'll grab that donut, and we'll just eat it, and then we're not hungry for the good stuff, the stuff that's going to help us and cause us to grow. And we live in a generation that is experiencing donuts and soda pop on a regular basis, spiritually. They're feeding themselves. They're feeding their souls. Young people, do you realize that you're feeding your souls with something? You are. You're feeding your souls with something. What is that? Is it the things that are good for you, permanent, lasting, deep, that will help you to grow and be all that God has intended for you to be? Are you feeding yourself with everything that everybody else is feeding themselves with, and they're going down a path of destruction as a result? Go ahead, do what they're doing and see what happens. Go for it. And have in your mindset, I'm different than everybody else. That's not going to happen to me, but it will, because you're not any different. You're opening yourself up to just stuff that's going to hurt you. Don't live and try to have a good time and say, well, when I get to be 25, I'll ask Jesus into my heart. But I'm going to really party it up. I'm going to party it up. And when I go to college, when I'm getting ready. So here's Gunner. Gunner and Jacob and Ransom. Man, you guys just graduated from high school, right? It's like, man, I got just a couple more months. I'm going to college, and I'm going to just do what I want to do. And I can party, and my parents will never know. And I'm going to make some really stupid decisions. And it's going to hurt my life and hurt my spirit. And it's worth it, because the trade-off is that I'm cool and I get to experience this stuff because I've been under the domain of my parents for so long, but now I get to do this and experience what real living is all about. Folks, that's young people, guys, listen, that's not what real living is. That's a path of destruction. I don't know how many has chosen that path and has regretted it, and God's redeemed your life, but you've chosen to go that path and said, man, that was the stupidest thing I've ever done. I made some foolish, selfish, fleshly decisions, but now I'm on track. How many can say amen to that? See, so how many wishes that you hadn't have gone down that path before? Amen? Yeah, see, a lot of regrets, but yet God redeems it. So guys, gals, you're not an exception to the rule. Please just take my advice. Please just listen to me. Please, I beg you. Don't go down that path. Run after Christ. Run after the things of his kingdom. Grab hold of him and don't let go. It'll be the best decision that you'll ever make. You'll never regret it. You won't miss out on a thing that's helpful. You'll miss out on a lot of stuff that's going to try to destroy you, but you won't miss out on a thing that's helpful by saying, no thanks. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. All right. None of that was in my notes. You know, many of us have experienced times of refreshing and outpouring of the Holy Spirit over the years as the Lord has sovereignly moved in our lives and at our corporate gatherings. But it seems like this generation, for whatever reason, and I think I know why, it's everything that I just talked about, this generation's missing out on the things that we've read about and many of us have experienced. There's this visitation that our generation needs that is actually found in way back in an Old Testament book in Ezekiel. And I want you to turn with me in Ezekiel chapter 37. Many of us know this story, but our generation does need a visitation from the Holy Spirit. And Ezekiel chapter 37, the first several verses, talks about this visitation that the prophet Ezekiel had. He had a visitation from the Holy Spirit, and this is what God wants to do for us as well in 2019. An old story from thousands of years ago that is just as relevant today as it was when Ezekiel had a visitation from the Holy Spirit back then. Are you there? Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1, and it reads this way. If you're there, let me hear you say, praise the Lord. The hand of the Lord was on me. This is Ezekiel speaking. And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. Say, the Spirit of the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. There was a visitation of the Holy Spirit by Ezekiel. Don't let that get lost. And he set me in the middle of a valley. Oh, that's interesting. In the middle of a fruitful, potentially life-giving valley. But yet, that valley, it says, was full of bones. How ironic. He led me back forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. There was no hope for those bones. They were very dry. And then the Spirit of the Lord asked Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Well, Ezekiel had a choice to make on this, and he chose kind of the middle ground on this. He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. He did say this, though, "Sovereign Lord," and sovereign simply means you're going to do what you want to do, God. You're sovereign in this. He said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." And then the Spirit of the Lord said to me, "Prophesy." In other words, speak to. You know, all of us can prophesy. I want you to say this with me, okay? I want you to say this scripture after me. Say, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Those of you who just spoke that out, you just prophesied. Okay, don't let that word prophecy or prophesy mean, oh, some big dude with, you know, some wild eyes and a cane in his hand is saying the, you know, speaking in King James English. No, you speak God's word, you're prophesying because you're speaking out something. Prophesy simply means speaking out in an authority, the word of God. Speaking out the truth of the word of God. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. If you need to stand up and stretch, do it. I'm seeing some of you doze off, and I prayed against that in the name of Jesus, but yet you're still dozing off. Do me a favor. Go to bed like at 10 o'clock on Saturday nights and, you know, wait, get a good rest. Get a good rest so that Sunday morning you're ready to go. All right. He said, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." That's God's word, what I just am reading to you right now. The word of the Lord, the Bible. In this case, it's the word of the Lord, but in our case, it could be God's word, Genesis through Revelation. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. "I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord." Okay, I'm going to break this down because you think, oh, this is kind of gross. This is weird. And how in the world does this have to do with 2019 in my life? I'll tell you. Stay with me, okay? So here it is. You think this scripture, and if some of you know about this scripture, you think, oh, he's prophesying over the nation of Israel. It's when they were scattered, they were exiled, and different things were going on, and they weren't a nation anymore. And he was speaking to the scattered nation of Israel that one day they were going to come together and do all this stuff. And that's true. But just because it's speaking to that doesn't mean that it can't also have a dual meaning of speaking to you and I today. Because God's word is not just a unilateral thing where it says, well, that's just Israel. You take God's word and you say, wait a minute, how can I apply that to my life? Because everything in God's word is there for our benefit. How many knows that? Amen? It's not just a cool story about Israel back in the day. It's also, what can we do about that today in our lives? So let's see what this says today. In Ezekiel's vision, in the midst of this fruitful valley, with all of this valley's potential, was scattered amongst it very dry bones. And then God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? And he says, sovereign Lord, you alone know, was his response. And we can ask that same question today. God looks out upon this nation, upon this culture, and upon this generation, and he says, can these dry bones live? And we can look at the news, and we can look at the things that are going on, and we can hear what's going on and see what's going on in our nation and in our world, and we say, oh my goodness, it's beyond hope. How many's ever felt that way? It's all right to feel that way. I felt that way at times. Like, oh, my Lord, Lord, how can you do this? It seems like we're so far gone in so many ways, and it hits home amongst so many of our lives, too. This is not just some story out there, but it's impacted our sons and our daughters and our nieces and our nephews and our husbands and our wives and our children. It's impacted all of us, right? Can these dry bones live is the question that God asks of you and I today. Can this generation that seems to be so far gone, can they live again? Can they live again? Do you believe that? Well, I'm here to say amen to that and to declare along with you today that what is impossible with man is entirely possible with God. We need a visitation from the Holy Spirit. It's not by works, lest any man would boast. It's not by programs. It's not by structure. It's not by manipulation. There's not a thing that I can do about it or that you can do about it except just give place to the authentic, life-altering, powerful move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, when the gospel is being preached in the book of Acts, signs and wonders follow those who believe. These powerful manifestations of the Spirit authenticated the gospel to those that were hearing it. I'll say that again just so you don't get lost in that because, oh yeah, that's good. That was 2,000 years ago. Listen to me. When the Holy Spirit came upon those people, signs and wonders followed them. People were getting healed. People were getting, demons were being cast out. People were being raised from the dead. I mean, there was things going on that was just mind-blowing. And don't you think that that got their attention? Other people? Oh, what's up with that? That dude's been lame since he was born, and now he's walking? That person was dead yesterday, and he's alive today? That person was demon-possessed and hanging out in the tombstones, and now he's walking around like a sound person, totally sound, insane. I got to know what's going on here. And it opened up the door for the gospel. Let me tell you what happened, they're saying. This power is not in me. Nothing I did. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you who the Holy Spirit is. It's the Spirit of Christ. Let me tell you about the gospel. And the gospel was preached, and the Bible says the church was added to daily those that were being saved because signs and wonders follow those who believe. Now, there's a lot of artificial signs that are going on out there today in our generation. There's a lot of dangling things hanging out in front of people saying, hey, look at this. This is going to make you feel better. This is going to make you popular. This is going to make you do great things. But it's all a charade. It's all a facade. It's all donuts and soda pop. We grab hold of it and we think, yeah, this is it, but it's not. And these counterfeits that are out there today, I'm here to tell you, they cannot match the divine supernatural manifestations of God. The authentic will always win out. Jesus will always win out. I'm not worried about Satan's feeble attempts at trying to mimic God. He tries. Because the Holy Spirit will authenticate the truth from the lie in people's hearts if we give him place. It's more than just saying, praise God, I believe in Jesus and I'm going to heaven. It's all about Spirit of the Lord, fill me. Empower me because I want signs and wonders to come out from me, not to glorify me or to say, look at me, I'm a great person, I'm more spiritual than you, but that it opens up the door for me to share the gospel with someone so that you can get saved and so that you can get saved and so that you can get saved and rescued from all the things that Satan has planned for you and be set up on a place where God can do some great things in your life and you got heaven one day in store for you. I'm not sure that's our goal. I'm not sure that's the church's goal anymore. I look at the church now and I see it's a bunch of smoke machines and lights going off and it's a bunch of programs and it's a bunch of stuff. I mean, we just fall into the trap that the world has to offer. But folks, if we allow the Holy Spirit to have his way, we can be the Acts chapter 2 church. Just give him place. Just give him place. Poke someone this way and say, wake up. That'll buy me another 5 minutes. I'm talking to everybody, poke someone right now. Just grib them. Because there's a few people that are sleeping. I'm not going to point them out. You know, there's nothing more discouraging than looking around and seeing a couple of people sleeping. And I said, just poke them. Just poke them. Why are you here? This is not nap time. This is not romper room. Okay, it's nap time. We're going to dim the lights. We're here to learn from the Lord. Right? So wake up. If you need to stand up, stand up. Everybody stand up. Stand up right now. Stand up. Stretch. Do this. Move around. 10 jumping jacks. Ready, begin. Come on, let's wake up. Stretch. Stretch. Poke someone. Come on, stretch, move around, move around, move around, move around, move around. All right, you can be seated. That buy me another 5 or 10 minutes right there. We'll just keep doing this. If you guys are going to fall asleep, I'm going to make you stand up. That's fine with me. I'm just tired of it. Come on, Lord, wake us up. Wake us up. We need a fresh, life-giving visitation from the Holy Spirit. If we give the Holy Spirit place in our hearts and lives, in our day-to-day, yes, in our corporate gatherings, absolutely, in our workplaces, in our schools, if we plant wider, the Bible promises that the Lord is going to bring the increase. Signs and wonders took place in Acts, but signs and wonders were not an end to themselves. It was always a setup for the gospel to be shared. And every time that the gospel was shared, the church was added to with souls being saved. And folks, that should be our goal. It's not signs and wonders and into themselves. It's not so that we can have a great time in church and just have a... It's souls. It's souls for the kingdom. Souls for the kingdom. Souls for the kingdom. Souls for the kingdom. The Holy Spirit is in us, not so that we can have goosebumps, but that we can boldly proclaim the gospel. And so many of the church people, they just, it's not, that's not their goal. And maybe there's some even here today that you don't even care. You're even looking at me saying, why are you getting so excited? What's wrong with you? It's because I'm passionate to see the church get back to what it was called to do originally. They were filled with the Spirit in the upper room so that they could go out and proclaim the gospel. Not so that they could have a cute little program here and a cute little fundraiser there, but that they could see souls saved. All those other things are fine, but it shouldn't be the focus. The central focus is souls saved. And folks, we have a generation that is lost and going to hell because we're not allowing the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we should. Because we're not hungry and thirsty. We got a lot of donuts and soda pop going on. The Spirit of the Lord told Ezekiel to prophesy, to speak with God's authority, his word, to what was long dead or what appeared dead. And here's what I want to say real quick, just real clearly this morning. I'd much rather speak the light of Christ over things than to curse the darkness. If we're not careful, because it's a better use of my time and energy and breath, if we're not careful, if we're always saying, well, this generation is going to hell in a handbasket. They're just lost and there's just no hope for them. And all we do is just speak curses over our sons and daughters, over this generation. Instead, let's speak in faith. The Bible says that there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. But the Bible also says, Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We know that scripture. What does that mean? That means that I'm going to say and declare this morning, and you're going to help me with this throughout the week, every time you hear a news report, every time you hear a story, every time you hear of an experience of something that's happened, you say, hey, that may be. But God's word says in the last days he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And I'm going to claim my son and my daughter. I'm going to claim this generation for God's kingdom. I'm not going to let Satan win. I'm going to declare that this generation is going to see a mighty move of God. I'm going to begin to speak in faith. It may not be happening, but in faith eyes, I'm going to see it happen. I'm going to see the altars filled. I'm going to see people laid out before the Lord. I'm going to see demons being cast out. I'm going to see people being rescued from their sins and saved miraculously and healed gloriously. I'm going to see those things happen in faith. I'm going to speak that out instead of speaking out what is actually happening. That's doing no good. Yeah, this generation is struggling. Yes, they're in deep despair. Why state the obvious? And just add to it. There's no faith in that. God can't work in those words, but he can work in your words of faith as you connect it with your heart and say, wait a minute, but this may be the truth of it, but my son and daughter is going to be saved. But this generation is going to be enjoy and experience a revival unlike the world has ever seen. But, and we speak it in faith. Does that make sense to you? Can you believe with me this morning on that? I'm going to say in faith, believing that our families, our churches, our community, this nation, this world is going to come to life in Christ. Amen? So every time we speak things out in faith, we are speaking life into those dry bones. Ezekiel was told to speak to the very, very dry bones, some crazy, impossible things. Imagine me telling you right now in a pile of dry bones to just come up and say, you know, hey, Tanya, you just see these bones right here? I want you to speak to them life. That they're going to come alive. He's like, what, are you crazy? There's no way. But Ezekiel did the very thing that the Holy Spirit told him to do. And we may look at our generation and our culture today and see things as hopeless. We may think it's a waste of time to declare life over the very dry bones. Ezekiel could have responded to God's question with an absolutely not, you're crazy. But instead he said, I'm going to believe you, God, because you know. And it's your will. Did you know that it's God's will that everyone be saved? You know you're praying in God's will when you say, God, save so-and-so. Save this generation. You're praying in God's will when you pray that? He's like, oh, I don't know about that one. His will is that everyone be saved. So know beyond a shadow of a doubt, be confident when you pray over your unsaved loved ones, over this generation, that they be saved, you're praying in God's will. So Ezekiel in obedience spoke over the very dry bones, and the breath of life we read just came over them. And you know what that breath of life is? It's the Holy Spirit. So we see God's word, and now we see the Holy Spirit. And so here's the order of this. The Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing the word of God. So we've got to speak out the gospel. We got to speak out the good news. It can't just be something where you slap someone with a Bible and say, did you catch that? Pow, did you catch that? Here, put this on top of your head and walk around for a day. Is it absorbing in? No, you've got to speak it out. The gospel, the good news. If you had some good news in any other way, wouldn't you, if you had a great investment opportunity, wouldn't you share it with someone, as long as it didn't impact your economic income, you know? I mean, you say, hey, here's a great investment, go for it. Here's a great restaurant you got to eat at. They have the best, Baja tacos around. I mean, you're going to spread some good news, aren't you? But for some reason, we got the gospel. It's like, oh, I don't want to offend anybody. Listen, the boldness of the Holy Spirit will override that political correctness of this generation and speak the gospel exactly the way that that person needs to hear it. It may be different for you than for you. I can speak to you in a different way than for you because the Holy Spirit knows where you are. And I can speak to you right there. The Holy Spirit meets you right where you are and draws you in from there. Isn't it beautiful? So we're just his mouthpiece. So the Holy Spirit takes that word and makes it come alive. It's called a rhema word. How many's ever heard that word, rhema word? Right now, you can read the Bible. You can read the same passage over and over and over again, and it's like it won't mean anything to you. But the one time you read it, and you probably experienced this as well, the one time you read it on a certain day when you're going through a certain situation, all of a sudden you go, wow, I never saw that. Because the Holy Spirit makes it come alive to you that day. Well, you've read it 100 times before, but that next time you read it, it hits you right between the eyes and changes your life. So as we speak the gospel out, faith rises up in the hearts of the hearers, and they move from despair to joy. They move from hopelessness to hope. They move from no purpose to God's greatest purpose in their lives. Then the Holy Spirit breathes life into them. In other words, he illuminates what they hear. And it bypasses all the deception and all the confusion and makes the gospel come alive to them, that rhema word. In fact, right now, I believe that even as this word is being shared, there's a rhema word that's happening in your heart today, in someone's heart today. What once was dead or dormant is now being awakened and revived. That's the Holy Spirit doing that, by the way. It's not me. Ezekiel didn't make those bones come alive any more than I'm standing here making anything come alive in your heart. God did that, and God is doing that today. Only he is the God of life. Ezekiel was simply his obedient mouthpiece. But then as the word of God is declared, as we all liberally and gladly share Jesus, the Holy Spirit makes those words come alive to the listener, and the very dry bones start to come to life again. There's one more thing about dry bones that I want to point out to you. Bones have what you know as marrow inside of them. How many knows that? This marrow that is inside of our bones is the primary site in our bodies where new blood cells are created. Did you know that? Did you know that the human marrow in your body right now, today, as you're sitting here, is working vigorously to produce, by the end of the day, 500 billion blood cells? By the end of this day, your bone marrow is producing 500 billion blood cells. Every day, churns it out. Boom, boom, boom. And as I ponder this, the Holy Spirit just showed this to me. I don't know if this means anything to you, but it sure helped me. That these dry bones, they came back together, and the Bible says they came alive. They were restored to life by the life-giving blood of Jesus. Now, coursing through those bones, through that body. Are you hearing me this morning? You see, it's not by a program. It's not by a religion. Listen, you can do all the good things in the world you want to do. And you're not saved, because it's not by works, lest any man would boast. It's only by the blood of Jesus that we're saved. And when these dry bones came back to life, the Holy Spirit just showed this to me, that his marrow, his blood started coursing through and producing life in us. It's not by any program or ritual or religion, but it's by a relationship with Jesus Christ and through his blood that we come alive and are saved. Amen? Galatians 2:20 says that I've been crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. These dry bones are not me anymore, but now Christ lives in me. His blood is coursing through my veins. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's his blood coursing through your veins, Billy. It's his blood coursing through your veins, William. It's his blood coursing through your veins, Jesus. I tell you what, it's Jesus' blood coursing through your veins. Only he has made you come alive. Thank God for the life-giving, saving blood of Jesus coursing through our veins. Amen? Then we look at the next part of this vision that the Holy Spirit gave Ezekiel. There's more that happens. There's these tendons that needed to be attached, which is interesting. So these bones, they've come alive. Now what do? They're just kind of all separate. So the tendons that link them together, by the way, that's what our bodies are, is connected. Our bones are connected with tendons. Thank God for tendons, or else we'd be a big old pile of bones and flesh and a bunch of organs in there somewhere. And we need some tendons to connect these things up. We'd be a mess. Our bodies would be a mess without tendons. Amen? Think about it. You see, they go, of course. That's a silly statement. Well, then what do these tendons represent? They represent the church. You see, the church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ coming together to do corporately what couldn't be done alone. These tendons that tie our bodies together also tie the body of Christ together. I love what's represented here today. We have the Cowboy Church, is that right? We have the body, which is a church here in Rock Hill. And maybe other people, I know Real Life Assembly got some folks that are here visiting today, and some other folks that are just part of the body of Christ. And you're here maybe visiting from out of town. The body of Christ, we are the body of Christ, and we're from different nationalities. We have some Iranian here. We have some Filipinos here. We have some folks from other parts of the country here. We have all kinds of different nationalities. We have red and yellow, black and white represented here, male and female, young and old. The body of Christ is a beautiful thing. And we're all connected together. The tendons are coming together because just as we gave them that check, I couldn't write out a $12,000 check, but together we could all write down a $12,000 check. And coming together to do what can't be done individually is the body of Christ. We encourage one another. We challenge one another. We admonish one another. We correct one another. We support one another, just as the tendons and the things in my body do, and they all work together beautifully. So these tendons represent the body of Christ. And I just want to say this too. There's too many denominations that are disconnected from one another in our generation. We get these little silos going out there. There's too much competition. There's too much jealousy that exists. There's too many factions and various shades of belief that have created walls of division in our ranks. But here's what I want to say this morning. I just want to make a declaration that if you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way by which mankind can be saved, if you believe that we are saved by faith in him alone and not by works, if you believe that the blood of Jesus alone washes us clean of all of our sins and places us again in right standing with God the Father, then we're good. You're my brother and you're my sister in the Lord. You know, all the rest of this stuff, and I have people coming to me and say, well, what do you think about pre-tribulation and mid-tribulation, post-tribulation? What's your belief on that, Brother Keith? What? Do you believe that we should be sprinkled or dunked? Or what is your belief on that, Brother Keith? What do you think? You know what? There's too many souls. There's too many people going to hell. I'm not going to worry about that stuff, all right? You can talk to somebody else about it. Feel free. Knock yourself out. About the tribulation thing, by the way, I don't care when he comes. I just want to get on the first bus. How about you? First bus? First bus. I'm going to get on the first bus. I don't want to hang around and see what's going on. I'm saved. You're saved. Let's get others saved, and let's let the Holy Spirit sanctify them, and that should be our focus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Tendons coming together. Also, here's the thing. If you have aught against your brother and sister sitting in this room today, if you're sitting over here because you're mad at someone over there, if you're coming to this church because you're mad at someone at another church, get over it. Forgive them. Let it go. Did Jesus forgive you of your sins? Yes or no? Then you need to forgive them of their sins and their aught against you. You have no right to hold. In fact, God's word says, if you don't forgive them, I won't forgive you. So you better get it right. Go to them and work it out. Vigorously guard the unity of the body of Christ. We are much more effective together than we are separate. We can have a much greater impact united than divided. We need each other, folks. Sometimes I know we get on each other's nerves. I know that's hard to believe because I'm such a wonderful guy, but I know that there's times I get on your nerves, and I don't get it because it's got to be you're the problem, not me, because I'm a pretty good guy. Yeah, right. Sometimes we disagree with one another. Which, again, I don't understand, because usually I'm right, and I'm not sure why you don't see why I'm not right. But no, that's not true. See, but that's the attitude that we take, don't we? I'm a pretty nice guy, and I'm a pretty smart person, and I'm usually right. Why are they so mad at me? Why don't they agree with me? And it just creates division. And we walk around like we got all the answers and that we're all put together, and we're not. We're messed up, guys, girls. We're just messed up. Thank God that we have Jesus, don't we? Amen. And he gets us straight. Sometimes we disagree with one another. Sometimes we don't get our way. Sometimes we get our feelings hurt. But we would do well to work these things out, I promise you. Let's protect the tendons. Protect the unity of the church. I want to read to you a couple of scriptures here, and I want you to write these down. There's a lot of words in here, so it can kind of go in one ear and out the other if you're not careful. But I want you to write these scriptures down, and I want you to meditate on them this week. Consider these instructions from our manual that God gave us called the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 says this: I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, who is the Father of all, and who is over all, and is through all, and is in all. I mean, that talks unity right there all the way, doesn't it? That's just unity all the way. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14 adds to this. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people. Are you God's chosen people? The rest of you are not sure, okay? Holy and dearly loved. You are God's chosen people, everybody in this place that is saved and has Jesus in your heart. You're God's chosen people. You're holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness and patience. See, if we just let that go in one ear and out the other, we're not going to let that soak in. It's kind of like a big, heavy rain. It doesn't have a chance to soak in. It just kind of washes over the ground, and it creates a puddle somewhere. You need to go back and meditate on this and say, well, what is compassion? Where am I not being compassionate? Where am I not being kind? How can I let the Lord give me a work in humility and gentleness and patience? Bear with each other and forgive one another? Oh, if any of you have a grievance against someone, do I have to forgive as the Lord forgave you? Really, there it is. It's pretty clear. You can't go around it. And over all these virtues, put on what? Love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That's kind of like the tendons again. It just brings it all together. It's kind of like smooths it all out. Now, this is a tall order, and frankly, I'll tell you what, I can't do this consistently on my own strength, and neither can you. So if we're to declare in faith to the very dry bones of our generation God's word, which is the gospel, and then we give place to the Holy Spirit to make that same gospel come alive, that rhema word, and guard the unity of the church so that the same gospel can reach its fullest potential through our corporate efforts, what will keep us on track? How can we do this? How can we do all that we just talked about here? How can we guard the unity and make sure the gospel's presented? It goes back to the vision one more time. There's one more thing here. God promises to make the dry bones come to life. He also then promises to breathe life into them, and then he promises to attach them with tendons. But there's one more thing that he's going to do. He said he's going to cover them with skin. Now, if we didn't have skin on our bodies, it would be a pretty atrocious thing right now for all of us. I'm glad for your skin and for my skin. Just as we have many options of styles of clothing, and it's all represented here today, many, many representations, depending on your taste. There's a lot of choices of clothing that the world offers, by the way. Just as like you chose to wear purple and black, you chose to wear gray and blue, you chose to wear black and white. The world out there has a lot of clothing to offer. Would you agree with me? We can clothe ourselves in a lot of things. We can clothe ourselves in pride inside the church. We can clothe ourselves in religious works and good deeds inside the church. We can clothe ourselves in titles. That's kind of inside and outside the church. We can clothe ourselves in pleasures inside and outside the church. We can clothe ourselves in perversions. A lot of that going on, unfortunately, inside and outside the church. The list can go on and on and on. We clothe ourselves with the things that the world has to offer, but there's only one choice of clothing when it comes to being set apart to God. You know what that is? It's being clothed in the robe of the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Oh, That means I gotta be holy. That means I gotta live right. That means I gotta do the right thing. That means I gotta really clothe myself in the robe. Yeah, that's what it means. It means setting yourself apart, being holy before the Lord, righteous and holy and pure. Isaiah 61:10 says, I delight greatly in the Lord, and my soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. And then Galatians 3:27 says, for all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourselves with Christ and his righteousness. What does righteousness mean? Well, first off, when you think about this, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what did they cover themselves with? Fig leaves, didn't they? Those fig leaves might have covered up for a while some of their body parts, but how many knows what leaves do? They shrivel up, don't they? They get dry and brittle, and after a while, you got to replace them with other things. And also, if a good gust of wind comes by and you don't have that thing attached well, then forget it. I mean, you're running for cover again. And we do the same thing when we try to clothe ourselves in anything other than the righteousness of Christ. It'll just dry up and blow away, and it's temporary, and we're going to be exposed again. But God, if you know the story in Genesis, took and said, that's not sufficient. He killed an animal. It's the first sacrifice that took place. He killed an animal. I mean, how else were they going to get this clothing of skins, right? Animal skins. He killed an animal, or two. One for Adam, one for Eve. And they were clothed by the sacrifice that was made. And that's what Jesus has done for us. Jesus is our once and final sacrifice. And instead of us being clothed in animal skins like Adam and Eve were, we're clothed in his robe of righteousness from the one final sacrifice that was made for your sins and for mine. Aren't you thankful for that? Jesus has offered to cover us with his robe of righteousness. His once and for all sacrifice covers our sins, and we can now walk in his righteousness. That righteousness, if you just break that word down and make it so simple, because the root of that is just right, living right. Living right based on what? Based on God's word. Oh, how do I do that? Read God's word. Let it come alive to you. Let the Spirit bring life to it. And then it's just a cycle. It's just a process. It's a lifestyle. It's a life of living like Christ lives. Thinking like him, speaking like him, doing like him, being an extension of him. And his righteousness will keep us on track to preach the word, to let the Holy Spirit flow through us, to keep the unity in the church, and to keep ourselves righteous before him. It's his life coursing through our veins that will keep us true and focused. It's his blood. It's his righteous spirit that will keep us effective for God's purposes. And here's the end result of this, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Here's the end result of this. It's still found in Ezekiel chapter 37. It's verses 12, 13, and 14. Listen to this. You're going to see some movement going on. So the distraction, the temptation is to be distracted by watching how they grab their mics and make sure how they... I've always wondered how they went into the drum cage, all of those sort of things, right? So just listen and don't be easily distracted, okay? Squirrel, right? Don't do that. Focus. Ezekiel chapter 37. At the end of this vision, we see what happens. After these dry bones become what is described, by the way, as a vast army. Listen to this. Those dry bones, that pile of dry bones there, became a vast army? Think about that. I'm going to say it again. The dry bones of our generation, listen to me, don't lose this. The dry bones of our generation, of where we are right now, God has prophesied he wants to make it a vast army. Anybody catching that? A vast army for who? Well, for him. I want you to just, again, that's when faith believing, we say, Lord, in faith believing, this generation that is seemingly lost and going to hell, these dry bones that I can't see how they're going to come to life, I declare that they're going to come alive and that they're going to become a vast army for the purposes of God's kingdom. You may sit here and say, Pastor Brian, I don't believe that. I don't see how that can happen. Exactly. Because it can't happen but God. It can't happen but by his Spirit. It can't happen but unless we give place to that. And so let's begin to speak and to say, Lord, I pray for my sons. I pray for my daughters. I pray for my nieces and nephews. I pray for this generation. Not just the generation of young people, like I described earlier, but for the generation that has not experienced the life-altering power, transforming power of the Holy Spirit. It took place in Acts chapter 2. It took place on Azusa Street. It took place in the 1970s. It took place at Brownsville. It's taken place at other times in our history. But Lord, let it take place here in this generation for such a time as this. You know, I'm not sure how desperate we are for this. But I'm trusting this morning that God is more generous and willing to do this that I'm talking about this morning than we are desperate to seek Him and to believe Him for it. But if we just give Him place, if we just reach out and take a step towards Him, as I said last week, if we just incline our hearts towards seeking Him, if we truly hunger and truly thirst today for Him, no more donuts and soda pop, He'll recognize and honor the posture of our hearts and the exercising of our faith, and He'll move on our behalf. We see in Ezekiel 37 that this is what the sovereign Lord says, that my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I'll bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I'm the Lord. When I open up your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land, and then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord. That happened in May 1948, by the way. He did bring the people, His people, back together into a nation. But as it happened in the physical, He wants to do over and over again in the spiritual. He wants to bring us back together into a place of spirit-empowered, spirit-life, spirit-impact. So I ask this morning, are you hungry for the Lord? Are you hungry for His move? Are you hungry for these things unlike you've ever experienced before? Is what I described to you earlier whenever I had that experience and you saw other people raise their hands, and whenever that happened, did something in your heart long for something that you've not experienced before? Say, oh, I want that. When can I have that experience, Lord? I want that. How about today? How about right now? You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. Joel 2. 28 and 29 says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. That's today. He's talking about the end times, the last days. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Oh, amen. Sons and daughters prophesy. That doesn't just mean, again, some wild-eyed guy with a cane. Prophecy just means preaching the word of God, speaking out the word of God with authority. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. In other words, you're going to get called out to be an exception to the rule of what's going on in this generation today. You're going to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Sons and daughters are going to be called out. Your old men's going to dream dreams. And I'm not just talking about sleeping here at church and saying, oh, that was a good dream. I'm talking about spiritual dreams like what Ezekiel had, where they're going to say, wow, I see what these dry bones came to life, and now they're put together with tendons, and they're covered by the righteousness of Christ. I mean, those are the kind of dreams. Those are the kind of visions that we're talking about. Your young men are going to see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Folks, that's you and me. There's no exceptions to that. You are not disqualified. Not one of us in here is disqualified from that scripture. How many is hungry for a move of the Spirit? How many wants to see a fresh touch from Him? How many wants to see a fresh new move of the Spirit of God? Our prayer this morning, Lord Jesus, is that You'd visit us. And not just visit us, but stay.